From the University of Texas at Austin, KUT Radio, this is In Black America.
He would ask the questions and I would answer the questions by the Bible. And we began doing that when I was too small to be seen in the front of the church, and they would pick me up and stand me up on the table, the offering table, so that the people could see me. And then as my other brothers and sisters were born and we got a little older, we started singing together, and my mother played guitar, but only in the house and with us, never publicly. So she would teach us all kinds of gospel songs, and they started us to singing. And so that's really, we know more about singing and we are more comfortable singing than we are anything else, I think. My father said to us one day, it's too many of you all to all talk at the same time.
Dr. Mabel John, former Motown singer, minister, and author of Love Tornado, published by Broadway Books. John was the first female artist signed by Berry Gordy Jr. to the Tamla label, which preceded Motown by more than 2 years. And she was one of the few artists to record for the top two labels of the 60s soul era, Motown and Stax Records. From 1968 to 1976, she was the lead Raylette for the late Ray Charles. In 1968, she went on the road with Ray Charles, taking over as director of his backup group, the Raylettes. In 1977, she left the group to launch the Joy in Jesus Ministry and a homeless program in Los Angeles that continues to this day. In 1994, the Rhythm and Blues Foundation inducted her into their Hall of Fame. It was a just honor for an underrated blues singer who made excellent music, but never had the luck or timing to push her over the top. In addition to conducting her ministry, John also co-wrote with David Rich 3 novels, in no small part, based on her 2 careers, Sanctified Blues, Stay Out of the Kitchen, and Love Tornado, all titles, not coincidentally, of songs she recorded. I'm Johnny O'Hanson Jr., and welcome to another edition of In Black America. On this week's program, former blues singer, minister, and author Dr. Mabel John, In Black America.
Heard it too. We were singing the song. We were getting ready to come out for Christmas. We were in Birmingham, Alabama, and in the middle of Ray Charles saying, "Baby, let's go home," and I answering him back, and I was beating a tambourine on stage, and it was our closing number. And when we got ready to sing behind him and say, "Baby, let's go home," I heard this voice say, "Go home, Mabel. I have something for you to do." And I looked at the other girls on the side of, beside me, on either side of me, and I said to Susie, I said, "I just heard a voice telling me to go home." And she just kind of chuckled and said to Vernita, "Mayberry is hearing voices. She's losing her mind. She doesn't know we're all going home tonight. And we're still singing what I say."
When you speak of John, you soon discover she's a great storyteller and what stories she can tell. She talks about the first time she met Berry Gordy Jr., and working for Ray Charles, and going on stage for the first time to open for Billie Holiday. And then there are the stories about being the eldest of 10 children and the family moving to Detroit. Born on November 3, 1930 in Bastrop, Louisiana, the Johns family lived in Arkansas for several years before moving to the Motor City in the 1940s to find employment in the auto industry. After graduating from Pershing High School, my alma mater, she took a job as a secretary at the Friendship Mutual Insurance Company, run by Mrs. Bertha Gordy, the mother of the founder and owner of Motown Records, Berry Gordy. In 1956, she met Berry Gordy and started recording with him in 1959. In 1962, blues had run its course at Motown, and John asked for her release from the label. She performed for 17 years as a solo artist before joining Ray Charles and becoming director of the Raelettes. Her most successful records came in 1966 at Stax with the soul classic Your Good Thing Is About to End. Today, John is a minister and author of the book entitled Love Tornado. In 2008, In Black America spoke with Dr. Mabel John.
Well, I didn't grow up in Bastrop. I was born there. My father came from Angie and Bogalusa, Louisiana, looking for work. And he was told, and my mother was pregnant with me, that there was work in Bastrop. So he went there and became a log roller. He worked on a log pond. Of course, now one side of that, what used to be a pond, is a street, and it divides Monroe from Bastrop. And at 3 months old, my parents left there and went into Arkansas. But Louisiana has always been close to my heart because of my mother and father and having so many relatives there.
I understand. When did you all move to Detroit?
We moved to Detroit, and I must have been maybe a year or two old. Oh, not to Detroit. I was thinking you were saying Arkansas. No, we moved to Detroit. I was 12 years old when we moved from Arkansas to Detroit.
And I understand that we graduated from the same high school.
Pershing High?
Pershing High.
Oh, my. What elementary school did you attend?
I attended Atkinson on Robinson.
But I was at Duffield,
mm-hmm.
and my brothers went to Northeastern High School, and one brother went to graduated from Cass.
Now, I got my broadcasting experience, so to say, in high school, and my first job in broadcasting led from the talent shows that they had at Pershing. Did they have the talent shows when you were there?
No, they did not. I guess I was there earlier than you. So they didn't have talent shows. The talent shows that my family were involved in were over in the Brewster Projects. Do you
mm-hmm.
remember the Brewster Projects?
Remember the Brewster Projects off the John C. Lodge.
That's right. And then the other talent shows that my brother, the late Little Willie John, was always involved in was at the Paradise Theater.
I understand. So you know about the 20 grand, too, don't you?
Oh, I know about the 20 grand. And also the Flame Show Bar. That's where I did my first real professional show with real pros, and I worked with Billie Holiday there at the Flame Show Bar. And Barry Gordy is the person that put me on that show.
I understand. Do you have any interaction with Diana Washington?
Yes. Now, when I was aspiring to become a professional singer, Berry Gordy would demand that I go to the Flame when each one of these stars, Dakota Staton, Diana Washington, Della Reese, all of them, Sarah Vaughan, would be there performing, and he would have me sit there and watch them perform, all of their mannerisms, how they handled the microphone, how they walked on stage, how they bowed, and how they talked and communicated with the public. And then he would drill me at the end of their week there and say to me, if you had to emulate any one of these women that you've been watching, which one would you like to emulate? I would have to critique them to Berry Gordy. And that was the real beginning and training of my career and getting my feet wet and actually watching how professional women, professional entertainers perform the audience and if they were courteous or not courteous or just whatever. And he would go through everything with me, which taught me a lot.
When did you understand or realize you had a talent for singing?
John family always sang. As little children, my mother taught us. I'm the oldest of 10 children, And the first five of us sang together. And we began singing in churches. My brother Murtis and I, who now still lives in Detroit, my mother would teach us Bible dialogues, the two of us. He would ask the questions, and I would answer the questions by the Bible. And we began doing that when I was too small to be seen in the front of the church, and they would pick me up and stand me up on the table, the offering table, so that the people could see me. And then as my other brothers and sisters were born and we got a little older, we started singing together, and my mother played guitar, but only in the house and with us, never publicly. So she would teach us all kinds of gospel songs, and they started us to singing. And so that's really, we know more about singing, and we are more comfortable singing than we are anything else, I think. My father said to us one day, it's too many of you all to all talk at the same time. It's too many of you all to have all of your friends come in at the same time. He said, I think what you should do is just learn how to strike up a song. And that was the beginning of it.
You mentioned Barry Gordy. When did you meet Mr. Gordy?
I met his mother first. His mother was in the insurance business. And at 16 years old, she gave me the first job I ever had in my life. As I was in high school, I wanted to work, and my father did not want me to work. He said, once you start, you can't ever stop, and your education comes first. But I only wanted to work in the summer when school was out. And Mrs. Gordy would come through our area talking about insurance. And my father detested the conversation about insurance. It was something about it that always frightened him. So she found a way to get through to him by just talking about the families. And he found out that she had a large family, and my mother and father had a large family. So they would communicate about the families. And in the meantime, she would get a chance to get over and get through to him the insurance business. And he finally consented that I could work for her after school in the summer. She kept telling me as we were growing up that she had a lot of children, but she had one son that was going to be a big star one day, and all he was going to do was write songs. She was talking about Barry, but I had never met him. He had never written a song. Nothing had been recorded, so it sounded like a mother's hopes for her children. So, of course, my father was telling us, on the other hand, that we could be and do anything we wanted to be. And it was my father, during that time, that said to me, Mabel, I want you all to get as good an education as you can. Learn everything you can and learn it well. Don't sidestep. Do it well. And he said, because one day a Negro will sit in the White House. And I was a girl when he said that. As my life progressed and time progressed, I had a chance to meet Barry Gordy. I was dating a guy that was on John R. to get his hair done. Men were getting their hair processed at that time. By now, I'm grown. And it was Barry Gordy. But my boyfriend was the one that was doing his hair. And it was a Chesterfield barbershop next to the Chesterfield Lounge. And my boyfriend said to me, you're coaching all these choirs free. You're going all over Michigan coaching choirs free. This man here is a songwriter. And we were both young. And he said that what you should do is team up with him and let him show you how to make some money singing. So that was my introduction. And in working with Barry Gordy in rehearsals, he was also rehearsing the group that became the Miracles. Claudette Robinson, who was not Claudette Robinson at that time, she was living with her aunt or grandmother in the Brewster Projects. And Barry would go over there to rehearse these kids that became the Miracles. One day I had to go to Barry's house for something. And as I stepped up to the door with him, his mother walked up, and she said, hi, Mabel. And I said, hi, Mrs. Gordy. And Barry said, you know my mother? I said, is this your mother? And that's how the three of us found out that we were all connected together, but in different ways. And I said, oh, she gave me my first job. I've been working for her after school from a teenager.
What songs did you record for Motown?
Well, I did a lot of songs for Motown, but the first song that I recorded for Motown was a song called Who Wouldn't Love a Man Like That? And one of the writers was Berry Gordy. And during those years, Berry Gordy played piano for me. And I thought at one point that I could not sing unless Berry Gordy was playing piano. So when he put me at the Flame Show Bar to work with Billie Holiday, he didn't show up the night that I was to open. And I thought I could not go on. And he said, either you'll go on or you'll be a flop, because I'm not going to play for you. And you have to get accustomed to playing and working with musicians everywhere.
How long did you stay at Motown before you became a Raylette?
Oh, it was a long time between that, because I went from Motown to Stax, and then from Stax to Ray Charles.
And what did you record at Stax?
The biggest thing that I had at Stax was Your Good Thing's About to Come to an End.
I don't have to beg you to hold me, 'cause somebody else will. So we come to an end. All those nights I watched the four walls, I did not have to watch them all alone. When other men said they wanted me, I didn't have to tell them I was your very own. You had all the love I got. About to come to an end. Your real good thing is about to end.
Same time, same place. You're picking up another man's place. Have your cake and eat it too, and just a whole number of things. I recorded a lot of songs there, and I recorded a lot of different songs also at Motown that they finally released about 4 years ago, went into the can and got them all out and released all of them in a special package. And, of course, Stax Records through Fantasy Records has done the same thing with my released and unreleased material at Stax also. But I was the first single female artist signed to Motown, and I stayed there 3 or 4 years, and I could tell that the music was changing, and it needed to for Berry to get to where he had to go. I thought I could only sing the blues, and the company was going pop, so I asked him for a release, and he gave me one. And I had told him previously with Smokey, when he couldn't place our masters, we were in New York with Jackie Wilson, and Berry was getting an award for his first million seller. He said he couldn't place our masters. He didn't know what he was going to do. So Smokey and I said to Berry at the table, if you start your own company, you could sign us to your company. And I said to Berry, and I would just stay with you forever. And he said, don't ever promise anyone that you'll stay with them forever. Because whatever you're looking for, if I can't give it to you and you know where you can get it, you and I should just be friends forever, and you go after your dream. And little did I know that my biggest and most successful success did not come from Motown, but it was a fantastic beginning. And Berry Gordy and the family and I are still friends.
Tell her, what was life like with Ray Charles?
Oh, life with Ray Charles some days was like being at home with my mother and father, because he had very, very high values when it came to people paying for your services. And I had a chance to learn by experience the things my father and mother had taught me that I had not experienced where Ray Charles was concerned, because he said, the people don't care that come to see you about whatever problem you had before you walked on stage. They paid to see you, and they're looking for your best. So whatever's going on with you that's not pertaining to your act, you leave it in the dressing room. Because when you walk on stage, you have to be at your best. He didn't allow us to be late for anything, not even a rehearsal. He said, I am more interested in your being there and being available and being on time than I am how well you sing. He said, I can get it, anybody can sing. I can teach anybody can sing a note. But if you don't show up, it doesn't matter how good you are. What good are you to me? These were principles that he lived by. And he was a very astute businessman. And he taught me a lot even before I went into publishing, because I own my own publishing companies and administer publishing for other people that don't know how. And he taught me how to scrutinize and evaluate talent and look for what is commercial and cut through the chase. So being with him, for me, was not a hard thing to do, because I had already been taught that if a task is once begun, never leave it until it's done. Be it little, great, or small, do it well or not at all. Because that came from my mother.
I used to cry like a baby when I didn't hear from you.
Cry.
But that's all changed. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Because I'm a big girl now.
She's a big girl now.
I still love you. But until you make up your mind to be true.
Singing on stage in 1973, and you said you heard a voice?
Yes, I heard a voice, and I thought all the Raylettes heard it too. We were singing the song. We were getting ready to come out for Christmas. We were in Birmingham, Alabama, and in the middle of Ray Charles saying, baby, let's go home, and I answering him back, and I was beating a tambourine on stage, and it was our closing number. And when we got ready to sing behind him and say, baby, let's go home, I heard this voice say, go home, Mabel, I have something for you to do. And I looked at the other girls on the side of, beside me, on either side of me, and I said to Susay, I said, I just heard a voice telling me to go home. And she just kind of chuckled and said to Vernita, Mayberry is hearing voices. She's losing her mind. She doesn't know we're all going home tonight. And we're still singing What I Say. I said, I'm going home, home. So as we were taking our last bows, as Ray Charles was introducing us, Vernita said, if you're going home, I'm going too. I said, the voice didn't tell me to take anybody. But as we were walking off stage, I was a little stunned because I knew that it was the voice of God and nobody heard it but me. But all of my life growing up, I was accustomed to hearing echoes of voices in my ear, and it always warned me of dangers and different things. And my mother would tell me, well, when you hear that voice, what you're to do is just pray and seek understanding so you won't take the wrong route.
And you're the minister of what church now?
I'm a non-denominational, and my ministry is called Joy in Jesus Evangelistic Outreach Ministry. And we have an outreach ministry, and we reach out to the people that's in need, naturally and spiritually.
Tell us about becoming an author. I read over the Love Tornado. It seems like there's a little bit of you and some other people in your life in that novel.
Oh, it's a whole lot of people. And Love Tornado is the third book.
Right.
It's a series of three books, Sanctified Blues. And that title came from something that Barry Gordy and his sister Anna and Gwen used to say to me when they were getting me ready for show business. They said I was so churchy, I would always be a little sanctified blues singer.
Dr. Mabel John, former blues singer, minister, and author of Love Tornado. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions as to future In Black America programs, email us at jhanson, H-A-N-S-O-N, at kut.org. Also, let us know what radio station you heard us over. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or of the University of Texas at Austin. You can hear previous programs online at kut.org. Until we have the opportunity again for technical producer David Alvarez, I'm John L. Hansen, Jr. Thank you for joining us today. Please join us again next week.
CD copies of this program are available and may be purchased by writing In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. That's In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. This has been a production of KUT Radio.